If you have your Bibles again, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you can kind of peruse down to 17 is where we're going to start today. Today, we're going to look at a lot of scripture, but I'm going to give you highlights today. I'm going to give you some points that you can think about that you not only can think about, but then put into practice. Amen? This coming week, not next year. Just giving you some instructions. So take notes today, and all of these are also on our website. If you go to resources, message notes are there. But I want us to put these into action. Remember that 1 Thessalonians, like many of the books of the Bible, were written as a complete letter. Chapters and verses were added later on in time. In fact, the Old Testament chapter and verses were added in 900 A.D. That's when they said, let's break it apart, help people locate Scripture. And then in 1551 is when the New Testament chapters and verses were added. Today, the reason I tell you that is because I'm starting at the end of chapter 2, and we're flowing right into chapter 3 because the thought really continues into that. And sometimes we can't think chapter 2 was a complete thought. Well, you're going to hear it continues. So I want to begin reading this morning. In fact, I'm going to invite my wife to come and join me because it's quite a long passage, and I just kind of want a different voice to help us walk through it, all right? Chapter 2, verse 17. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy.
So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know.
Verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you.
Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are now standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thanks again for the incredible word of God, and Lord, for this story that we're told of this church and their faith and their love. And so, Lord, teach us today from it, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tammy. First of all, I want to talk to you today. I titled it A Heart and a Prayer. And today I want to start talking about a heart like Jesus. This morning, I want to look at, first of all, three things that Paul hits on that we can have a heart like Jesus. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about a few things about a prayer. There are things that we really should know in life, but every so often, how many think we need to be reminded of it? Amen? So you're going to think some of this is like, I've heard that, but we need to be reminded. Number one is first, we need a heart that loves people. Verse 17 said, but brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, it wasn't even a long time, and it was in person. It wasn't just I'm missing you in thought. They couldn't see each other. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Paul was longing to go back to Thessalonica and see the Thessalonians who had become believers. He wanted to see them because he cared about them, and he loved them like Jesus loved them. Paul was concerned that the persecution that came as a result from his visit might have adversely affected the people in the church. In the same way, church, we need a heart of Jesus that sees beyond ourselves. So we can notice when there's hurting people around us, or maybe we just need to be concerned because we may not know what's going on. Having a heart like Jesus will help us recognize people who are struggling. It'll also help us, listen, look beyond their sin and their failures and even their complaints. If we have a heart like Jesus, we'll love them and want to see them and have a desire to help them get on their feet and keep going. Church, Jesus knew in his time how to respond to people who had rejected God, but he did so in such a way he sought to show them the love of God, not take it away from them. Paul loved those in Thessalonica, and he wanted to make sure they were doing well in the faith. A second thing we need is a heart of discipleship. Listen to verse 5 of chapter 3. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Now, you have to understand, Paul could have went to Thessalonica and then just rejoiced in all the people that he had led to Christ and then never worried about them again. Think about it. However, Paul understood that his job was not simply to get conversions. His job was to make disciples. And making disciples, like it or not, takes time. Listen, there is a place and there's a time for a quick sharing of our faith and an explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, we need to remember that making disciples is not simply a matter of understanding truth or just finding Jesus acceptable. Jesus didn't call people to merely accept him or receive him. He called people to follow him. Amen? When Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seeds, understand, all the seeds were scattered. Some of the seeds fell onto hard ground, but the seeds were stolen away. You remember that story? The seeds that found fertile soil, of course, they grew greatly and produce crops, 10 and 100-fold. However, there were two other scenarios in that story. There were the seeds that fell among the rocks, and they ended up being scorched by the sun because they didn't have deep roots. And then there were seeds that fell among the thorns, and unfortunately, they got choked out. In fact, he just explains it by saying, by the cares of this world. In those two cases that I just spoke of, there was an initial growth. There was this, hey, I think I'm going to put my life into Jesus' hands. But it did not last. Jesus said this is a picture of how people do respond to the gospel. They're introduced to faith in Christ, but you have to understand that is not all that is necessary. Some people do take root, but they don't last because of all the attractions of this world. Listen, all of us must ourselves continue to plant ourselves in fertile soil. That's important. We need to get rid of the rocks and the thorns in our own lives so we can grow and we can have strong roots. But we also need to help others grow in their discipleship. Paul warned the Thessalonians that following Christ is not going to be easy. There are going to be trials. And you need to expect persecution. If I could kind of warn you, church, I'm telling you a day is coming. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of our soon-coming King, you are going to be persecuted. And so we must warn people that the road to heaven is not as easy as you might think it's going to be. God created us to need each other. Amen? And there's days that I'm going to need your prayers and your strength. And then there's days you're going to need mine. Why is all that important? Because we need a heart of discipleship. Amen? A third thought is this. We need a heart that sees our relationships as our greatest blessing. At the end of chapter 2, Paul writes these words, verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Paul has reminded us that our greatest accomplishments in our lives is going to be the people that we have helped to find the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Paul himself is looking forward to the second coming of Christ, even in this passage. He looks ahead to the day that Christ will appear, when the world will recognize that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on that day, Paul says, as I stand before the Lord, the one thing that I'll be honored by will be the people who have come to faith through my testimony. He says, I'm going to find my joy and glory in those who have turned to Jesus Christ, maybe because of his example or his instruction or the ministry he did. And church, the same is true for you and I. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, our greatest joy, our greatest glory will not be what we have accumulated here on earth. It will not be your car. It will not be your home. It will not be your trophies. It will not be your degrees. It will not be your bank account. The greatest joy and the greatest glory when we get to heaven will be what we have deposited into the lives of others who have responded to the grace of Jesus Christ. That's why we need a heart that loves people like Jesus, and a heart of discipleship, and a heart that sees relationships as our greatest blessing. And could I just say at this moment, I am grateful and honored that God put you in my life. Honored. Let me give you a few thoughts regarding a prayer that Paul prays at the end of chapter 3. We didn't read these verses. I'm going to read them to you now. Now, we all know we should pray. Amen? And I trust you understand God does hear us when we pray. And God does answer when we pray. Amen. Listen to John the disciple in 1 John 5 as he writes these words. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's important, he what? He hears us. And if we know that he what? Hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we asked of him. Sadly, even with this kind of information that the church has, many believers still do not pray as much as they should. There are a lot of prayers recorded in the Bible for us, and one of those prayers is in our passage today. This prayer is probably not meant to be a pattern to pray by, but like the prayer that the Lord Jesus gave us when he was teaching the disciples how to pray. However, I believe there are some helpful insights that we can gain from this example of prayer. Here it is, verse 11. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The first insight I think we can take away in this prayer is this. We need to submit our will and our calendar to the Lord. The first part of Paul's prayer is asking God, would you remove this barrier that Satan has put there that I could get back to Thessalonica? The first thing we see from Paul in this is that Paul committed his personal desires to the Lord. Paul wanted to go back to Thessalonica. He was frustrated that he wasn't able to return. And that's why he goes to God in prayer and says, God, could you make that happen? Church, I want you to know there is nothing wrong with asking God for what you would like to see happen in your life. We can be honest before God with our requests and our thoughts. But in that honesty, we need to know that our prayers need to line up with God's will. And therefore, whatever we answer, we trust whether we get our personal desire or not, we trust God. Amen? A second thing Paul did, Paul submitted his will to the Lord. In bringing his request to the Lord, Paul recognized God is the one who is in control. He understood God is able to overthrow the plans and the strategies of the enemy. Paul knew and recognized God's power, God's wisdom, God's was superior to his own thinking. So Paul didn't demand that God open the door for him to return. That would be arrogance. Instead, Paul declares his desire and does it with humility, knowing it needed to be God who would clear the way and not himself. So we need to pray that same way. Not my will, but yours, right? When Jesus was in the garden, he prayed this to his Father. Listen carefully to it because we jump to the last part. Listen to it very carefully. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. He started with submission to what God desires. And then Jesus confirms it again when he finishes the prayer with these words, yet not my will, but yours be done. Church, whenever we come to God in prayer, we must realize that we're kind of like children. We think we know what's best. And most of the time, we definitely know what we want. But however, we have to trust that God sees clearly what is in our best interest. And that's what Paul does in this prayer. And that's why we need to submit our will and our calendar to the Lord. Because his timings are more important than ours. Amen? And we just trust him completely. A second insight, I believe, in this prayer, in the scripture, we see is we need to pray for our love to grow. Listen to verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Actually, there's three things, I believe, just in this little passage here that we can take away about praying. Number one is we all need to learn to love more effectively. Paul doesn't simply encourage us to love. He encourages us to overflow with love. Hear it again. May the Lord make your love what? And increase and overflow. This implies to me that we can always learn to love more. Amen. Yeah. Let me give you a simple acrostic using the letters L-O-V-E, love, and how we can maybe learn to love people better. Ready? Here it is. L, listen with your heart. Learn to listen with your heart. Hear what's really being said by people. O, overlook failures. That's how you're going to love them. V, value other people. And E, express love with action. If I had a bowl of water this morning and I could take another pitcher and I could just keep pouring into that bowl, what would happen? It would overflow. The problem is if I left the bowl long enough here without pouring anything else to it, do you know the water would just evaporate? Church, that's why this love that he's placed within us, we've got to keep letting it pour into us so that we are increasing and begin to always overflow. Keep letting God pour his life through you. Hear that verse again. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow. Church, we all need to learn to love more effectively. A second thing is, listen again to the verse, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow what? For each other. We all need to grow in our love for the body of Christ. Paul prays for the Thessalonians to overflow in their love for each other. Listen, the church was designed as a place by God to be a place of support, a place of encouragement, a place of strength. In fact, the Bible is filled with commands that encourage us as brothers and sisters in Christ to care for each other and to love each other. 1 Peter 4:8, he says, above all, love each other, how? Deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Everybody read that verse with me. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus declares in John 3:13-34, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 14. Listen to how he says it again. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. If we want to be obedient in our walk with the Lord, we have to continue to grow in our love for one another. Amen? A third thing, here it is. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and what? For everyone else, just as ours does for you. A third thought is we are to love those outside the body of Christ. Church, talk of love is cheap. Action of love is what makes an impact. We need to let the people of this world really see and experience the love of Christ that is in us. We are coming into two seasons that are incredible, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And during this season of time, and we can do it in such a way that it's not odd and weird, but we need to let our love overflow to everyone. In the stores, I am telling you, be thankful. Be appreciative. Even if you get frustrated with something or someone, put your love into action and look for some way to speak with love and show your love in words and deeds. Open doors for people. Yesterday, I think it was, I had the opportunity, maybe it was Friday, I think it was Friday. Friday, I happened to be coming out of a store, and I saw people coming, and there was two different groups coming, and I opened it for the first one who was close, and then I just stood there and held it for the other people coming. Of course, they began to hurry up, you know, because they, you know, but it's really interesting. They got there, and they said, oh, thank you so much. I said, this is my joy to do this for you today. And they're just like, they just melt. Church, if you would just take an extra few minutes of your life, you can pour your love out. And I'm telling you, you don't know what doors it could open. So just open doors to see if God can open doors. Amen? Say happy Thanksgiving. You ought to be the most joyful people who know how to give thanks at Thanksgiving. Amen? I mean, we're walking around like, I can't find a pumpkin. I tell you what, I'm going to find a pumpkin. I'm going to find a turkey. I'm going to be the most joyful people and say happy Thanksgiving. And then when Christmas maybe is a little closer, even though all the Christmas decorations are being put in stores, say Merry Christmas. And don't be afraid of happy holidays. Holidays is the word for holy days. In fact, help describe it. Happy holidays, you know, because it's a holy time of the year. Church, you've got the most opportunities ahead of you for these next 2 months of your life. It won't come across as weird, but you can show the love of Christ. You can just begin to pour it out. Church, we can do that. Amen? Amen. One last verse this morning, verse 13. Says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. I want you to begin to hear, because as we keep going into the next chapter, it tells us about his return. But I want you to know, Paul just doesn't get to chapter 4 talking about his return. If you could just hear it all throughout this, this is about Jesus coming. This is about Jesus coming. This is about Jesus coming. That's what he's saying. The Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. But for us, a lesson we can learn in this prayer is this: we need a deeper walk with God. Notice a couple of things that Paul prays. God needs to strengthen our hearts. Paul understood that growth in Christ's likeness has to come from the Holy Spirit working within our lives, our hearts. The other day I heard this question: what's the difference between ethics and morals, or an ethical person and a moral person? The answer is, the ethical person knows what is right. The moral person does what is right. Church, being blameless and holy is about having the character of Christ within you and then having that character portrayed through your behavior. If we allow God to begin to really strengthen our hearts, I believe that the right actions will begin to follow in everything we do. Another thought in Paul in verse 13, he says, he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, but when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Church, we need to focus on Jesus' return. Church, our purpose in life, in eternal life, is to stand before our Savior one day, knowing that we have become what he wanted us to become. Paul didn't pray, church, I just pray you can maintain the status quo. He prayed for them to be holy and blameless before the Lord. He prayed, I pray you'll be ready when Jesus comes back with the saints. In the midst of everything that is going on in this world, in your life, in your circumstances, in your world, we need to focus on Jesus' return, church. Here's a question. If we knew Jesus was going to return this afternoon, would we live our life any differently? If there are things that you're thinking about, boy, I would change this in my life, then you need to ask this question of yourself. What hinders me from living like I should now? Think about it. Church, we have got to keep the return of Jesus in the forefront of our thoughts. Amen? I know I've covered a lot of scripture and a lot of thoughts today. I hope you took notes. I hope you'll study it. I hope you'll begin to practice it. I mean, how many are going to practice letting love overflow? Let me walk through them real quick again. How about this? We need a heart that loves people. And if that's a prayer for you, start it with a prayer. If you're ready to act upon it, act upon it. Even this afternoon, I can almost guarantee you, you'll have an opportunity to love people if you'll do it. Secondly, we need a heart of discipleship. I want you to be people who share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to do that. But I want you to go beyond that. I want you to give your best to follow up with those people, if you can, who have shared the gospel. How are you doing? How is life going? How are you? Write a letter to him like Paul did. Say, you know what? I was thinking about you. I wish I could be with you. But just seeing, how are you doing? Church, we need to follow up, because it's not just about getting a seed in the soil. It's about making disciples. Amen? We need a heart that sees our relationships as our greatest blessing. I said it earlier, I'm honored to not only have your acquaintance, but your friendship. I'm honored to have the pastoral staff that I have, many have just come to join us. Some have grown up within the ministry, but I do not take any of those for granted. I'm honored. You need to begin to think through how God has blessed you in your life, those he's put into your life. Honor those relationships. They are your greatest blessing. And when we get to heaven one day, all those people you've poured into, because you're not going to be able to show off your car, but you can show off the grace of God that came from your heart to another. We need to submit our will and our calendar to the Lord. I know we get so busy that we calendar this and fill it up, but say, God, your will be done. Lord, here's my thoughts for the day. And you said, plan your ways, but you said, I'll direct your steps. So, Lord, I'm going to trust that with all my plans, your will be done and accomplished. We need to pray for our love to grow. I know it's a repeat kind of the first thought, but church, if anything, this love is not our love, it's the love of Christ pouring through us. We need a deeper walk with God. Keep coming to church. Keep or get in some small group connection somewhere. Continue to read God's word. Grow in your relationship with God. Go deeper. Why settle for a status quo when the Holy Spirit is within you and he reveals the word of God and makes it come alive? And God is so mighty and so wonderful, and the power of his resurrection. Guess what? You can know it. But do we want to walk deeper? And lastly, we need to focus on Jesus' return. Keep your eyes toward heaven. Keep your eyes toward Jesus. He is our soon coming King. Amen? Amen. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, this morning, we come into this place, and Lord, every week we hear different things. And the Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak these to our hearts and help us put them into action. Even if it's just one of these this week, Lord, that something will speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, show us where we need to grow. And God, we surrender our lives to you. And Lord, thank you for this letter. It's like we're the church. And Lord, Paul was not just praying for a church back then, but for us today, and reminding us of who we are and where we're going, and that we need to keep our eyes in that direction. So, Father, thank you for this day you've made. We are choosing to rejoice and be glad in it, for you are our Savior and King. Amen? Amen. So, church, live with a Jesus-filled week this week. Amen? Amen. God bless you.